You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It is Monday night, the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And of course, our beloved senior fadilatul honorable respected Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah, on this beautiful evening, which is now 3 minutes after 8, South African time. I want firstly, when I want to welcome my two engineers, Brother Lokolo here in Johannesburg, and of course the other engineer in the Durban studios. It's the 10th of August 2020. Let's welcome the listeners of Al Ansar International. Let's welcome the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and company. Remember our zakat nisab, it is 9,460 rand. Meher Fatimi, 23,655 rand. Minimum mahar for Hanafis, of course, 480 rand. For Malikis, it is 160 rand. For Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum mahar. Our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Our beloved Ustad's email address is akhussein@gmail.com. That is akhussein@gmail.com. Our beloved Ustad's website is muftiakhussein.net. That is muftiakhussein.net. Our beloved Ustad's Twitter account is @akhussein. That is @AK Hussein. Let us cross over, inshallah, to our beloved Ustad, who's with me in the studios. A beautiful Monday night, and a lot of people are tuning and listening this evening because it is public holiday. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat, jazakallahu khairan. And we thank all our engineers, Brother Yusuf Asmal, Brother Lukolo, and our engineer in Durban. Thank you very much.
I see somebody says, yo, Ustad, that my ex-wife is getting married, Mufti Saab. I am feeling very jealous. What do I do? Please advise me, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sometimes it is unfortunate that the marriages end up in divorce, and then there is so much bad blood between them. And Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the noble Quran that when that happens, Almighty Allah makes it such, when the separation divorce has taken place, Almighty Allah makes each party independent of the other. Allah is for her also, Allah is for you. And now when she is getting remarried to somebody else, and after the iddat, so now you are burning with rage and jealousy. That is not right, brother. You had your opportunity and now you are jealous. So read surah right in the ending, chapter number 113, verse 5. Wa min sharri jealousy is that now you don't want that marriage to work out for her. You're wishing her evil and so forth. No. Remember, make istighfar, beg Almighty Allah for your wrongs. Maybe she did wrong, you did wrong. I always say in a marriage that, remember, both parties sometimes will do wrong. But when you gave the divorce, now you can't be cursing her or she. If you getting remarried, she cursing you. You must let go now of that and let the history go and continue with the geography and biology now, my brother. So that is my advice to you. Keep on reading قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, the last two chapters of the Noble Quran, chapter 113, 114. And when the waswasa and whisperings of shaitan comes, then Quran Kareem teaches us, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and Allah Jalla Wala will give you also someone better. Read Surah 25, verse 74, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ, oh Allah, grant us as spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes.
I see somebody wants to know, Ustad, we know that 1442 is just around the corner. So the listener says, Honorable Mufti Saab, when will the new year 1442 begin, Ustad?
Regarding the previous question, if you want the reference, open chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 130. Yes, we are now in the month of Zulhijjah, and every day is passing so rapidly. So inshallah, if you look at our calendars, then you will see inshallah on Friday, the 21st, remember, of August, that will usher in the new year, Islamic new year, 1442. It will be the first of Muharram, insha'Allah al-Aziz. So you can diarize that 21st of August, Jumu'ah, Friday. So Mubarak day, Mubarak month. And remember, Muharram is a sacred month. Arba'atun Hurum, the four sacred months, is enshrined in the Noble Quran, Surah 9, chapter 9, verse 36. Mustafa Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Salatun Mutawaliyat, three are consecutive of months, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram, and the month of Rajab. So in that way there, inshallah, we make dua that 1442 will be better for us, our families, and the Ummah and Muslimah compared to the previous year. Always ask Allah Jalla Wala for khair and goodness and betterness.
Somebody says, Ustad, Mumittu. They want to know, is it permissible in Islam when both parties agree on marriage? Ustad,
when I am performing a nikah, or Mawlana Arafat is performing the nikah, so then we deliver the khutbah, the sermon, and then we have the ijab and the qabool, and that is the proposal and the acceptance from both parties. So that is khutbah, the sermon. And before that, the preliminary, so that you call khitbah, the proper term in Islam, the Arabic term khitbah. So in our Meman, Gujarati, Urdu, all that Mumi, so what is Mumitu? Literally, well, we want to make your mouth sweet, give you some nice burfi, give you some nice jalebi, give you some nice sweet meats and so forth. ABC son and XYZ's daughter are now fixed up, both parties have agreed. So basically it is just a promise. Yes, we are happy that our daughter will come today to your family, and the boy's family is happy that their son will be getting married to your daughter, and they are both parties. So it's just a promise, it's a happy occasion. So Islam allows the khitbah, and Islam allows the mumitu, what you can loosely translate as engagement. So why do the ulama object? Rightly so, they object. The principle is accepted, but the manner, method in which we implement it nowadays, it leaves a lot to be desired, and definitely can't be permissible. That you find the boy and girl who are engaged, they posing with one another, taking videos and photos and snaps, and they touching one another, kissing one another, they say, but we're broad-minded. And then you find sometime that the belly dancing going on, sometime the music going on. Now how can all that be justified? A to Z, all that is haram, obviously. So therefore the ulama condemn it. But if we have it according to the sharia, few people from the boy side, few people from the girl side, and you have Mumitu, it's a happy occasion, there's no doubt about it. And thereafter, my advice to you, get both parties married immediately as soon as possible. On Sarrechmak, Volgende Jaar, we will see next year, all that. You know, in Afrikaans I'm speaking now, because our people, a lot of them, they use these terms. No, that is against Islam. Remember that. At Taswif Mina Shaitan. This delaying, delaying is from shaitan. Remember that. Marriage, salah, janaza, tawbah, payment of debts. Islam says ta'jeel. You must make a haste and get them married as soon as possible.
Ustad, every listener, of course, on As-Safina to Ilal Jannah, your program Q&A, many, many other programs on Markaz Sahaba. They want to know regarding the daily nasiha. How do they receive it, Ustad?
Alhamdulillah, we are inundated with requests, and may Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala reward you, the esteemed listener, that it is harishun alal ilm. You have so much zeal and love, enthusiasm to learn more and more of our pristine religion, Islam. So yes, you know, sometimes there are technical glitches and so forth. So that is now about 2 weeks that we have this problem. But alhamdulillah, I see every day more and more people are joining in. So these are the step by step we have to go, right? So on your phone, your smartphone, your iPhone and this phone and that phone, your cell phone, so you go to the Play Store. So that's step number one. In the Play Store, you will find an app there called Telegram. So you have to download it, install it in your phone, and thereafter you have to subscribe to my link. So if you have my link, and then you will find it there. If you don't find it, then just send me a WhatsApp message, just one word, Telegram, and inshallah, tonight, tomorrow, we will just send you the link, inshallah, 071-888-1184. Secondly, remember that I must place on record my sincerest thanks to Maulana Ahmed Dokrat, Hafidhullah. MashaAllah, last week sometime, we reached 1,700 nasiha. It was Maulana's initiative. Allah Jalla wa Ala reward him and his family. And similarly, now with Telegram, we have a new Muhsin and a person doing us a favor, Salahuddin. So mashallah, Salahuddin, you, your family, Allah Jalla wa Ala bless you. And mashallah, you continue helping us through all these waters here that we're going through. Because me, I don't understand too much of these things. But anyway, we simple Simon. So anyway, Allah Jalla wa Ala make it easy. We want, wallahi, Allah knows our intention. We want that every one of you must receive this nasiha and all our other programs, because all of us will benefit. I benefit in this world in a year after you benefit. And that is what we all about. Information brings about transformation. May Almighty Allah accept all of us.
Somebody says, Ustaz, Durud Tunjina. Or Tunajina. Ustaz, which one is correct?
Remember that in the Arabic language, if you really want to be now real technical, Tunjina, Ya Allah, you save us. Finish the translation. You rescue us. And Tunajina, every time, Ya Allah, you rescue us, you help us. So you read Tunajina, better. You read Tunjina, good, permissible. So there's no problem. Both are acceptable. But when you hear the ulama, remember, most of them read Tunajina. So we will advise that. But if you're reading Tunjina also. However, one point I need to make clear. Remember, the salawat or Durood Sharif Tunajina is man-made. It's not something which Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. It's not something which the beloved Sahaba and companions and students of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Yes, it is of the awliyaullah. Hence we say it's permissible, but never concerned. The sunnah, always draw the distinction, what is permissible and what is sunnah. So you're reading it, alhamdulillah, there's no problem. It is permissible, but not sunnah.
Somebody says, Ya Ustad, contact lenses with different colors, Ustad. Is that fine? Is that permissible?
When Almighty Allah Jalla Wala expelled the shaitan, Iblis, from Jannah and Paradise, he said, what I'm going to do alone in Jahannam? Wala amurannahum falayughayyirunna khalqallah. Chapter number 4, Surah Nisa, verse 119. I will command them and they will change the creation of Allah. Just look at the world where we have gone to nowadays. In my travels overseas, you know, they really want to confuse us and blow our fuses when we go to the bathroom, to the restroom, different names they give it nowadays. So you will find gents or men, then you will find ladies or females or women, and then they will got their mixed up gender or no gender or something like that. So remember that people are now transgender. Adam want to become Eve and Eve want to become Steve. So imagine what the mix up that is now. All that is totally haram. And remember that now Allah gave you brown eyes, but you want green eyes, so now you put green eyes, contact lenses. Then after 1 week you're tired, then you put blue eyes. Then you put pink eyes. You know, pink eyes is a disease also. So remember this, this is deception. You're playing straight into the hands of Shaitan. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ghashyana falaysa minna. Whoever deceives us is not of us. Authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Let's take a practical example. Mr. ABC is interested in a certain girl. That day she wears a green or a blue, you know, contact lenses. And now he says, what? She's a beauty. And these type of things. And after he marries her, he sees, but her eyes are now brown, no more blue and green and all. Is that deception? So all haram does, remember, don't fool yourself. We're playing straight into the hands of Shaitan.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustad, my mother wants her assets to go to the daughters only, Ustad, not her siblings.
Here we need to go back to the starting, and I beg you, all the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, you the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is a humble appeal, and I hope that you will take heed. Remember, 1441 is reaching its end very quickly. I told you 21st of August, inshallah, inshallah al-Aziz, will be the new year, 1st of Muharram 1442. Is it not time that we sort out our will, our last testament, all these issues? A person, a Muslim, passes away, and every day we just hear people passing away. So the first thing will be burial, funeral expenses from the estate of the deceased. Some family member, friend wants to pay, alhamdulillah, totally permissible. Second, the debts of the deceased, all must be paid, whether it is personal debts, corporate debts, business debts, all debt, whether the person made wasiyat or not. I had a question today like that. So whether he or she made wasiyat or not, that must be taken from the estate and that must be given and paid to the creditors. Third one is wasiyah. Wasiyah is to bequeath for non-heirs, your adopted children or your brothers, sisters, when you have a son, your own biological son, because he, the son, will deprive the siblings of the deceased. So in that way there you bequeath for madrasa, masjid or people, Muslim or non-Muslim, that also is acceptable. And maximum one-third of the total estate, but the person to whom you are bequeathing must not be an heir. And the fourth one is the shares of the heirs. Now we come and answer this question. There is this mother, right? And now she only has daughters. Her husband has passed away. The daughter's father has passed away. So she just wants her estate to go to her 2, 3, 4 daughters. And she does not want anything to go to her siblings. Her parents are deceased. So what happens in a case like that? Remember, it's haram, O mother, to do that. Every Muslim, you should be reading Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verses 13, 14. When we do things according to the Sharia, as stipulated, ordained, and prescribed in the Noble Quran, regarding inheritance and the law of Islam succession, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is a supreme success. وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. Whoever disobeys Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and goes beyond the limits, you increase somebody's share, you decrease somebody's share, you deprive somebody, like in this instance, the mother wants to deprive her siblings from their share. So you yudkhiluhu naran khalidan fiha. Allah dispatches that person straight to Jahannam and the hellfire for a very, very long time. Walahu adhabun muheen. For such a person is a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Surah chapter 4, verse 14. Look at the ramifications and consequences. Now, mother, I want to help you. So you have 2-3 daughters, you have one brother, one sister, or you have sisters only or brothers only. So during your lifetime, O Ummi, O respected mother, why don't you give your 2 daughters, 3 daughters, whatever you have, give them equally. You got jewelry, give them equally. You got money, give them equally. You got property, give one this property, give one that property. So whatever you have, mashallah, during your lifetime, you start distributing, donating, giving as a gift. 2 conditions there. One is the giftee, the recipient, that is your daughters, must take possession of it. You can't say this is yours, but everything is there by you. No. They must be the owner and it must be well known that. And second, you cannot stipulate conditions that I'm giving you the jewelry, but I'll take it whenever I want it from you. No. You can't make any conditions like that. So then in that way, your estate with the time of your death will be very, very small comparatively and relatively. So now the 2 daughters, after what I mentioned, that they will inherit 2, 3, 4 daughters, whatever it is, they will inherit 2/3. Now there's 1/3 left that will go to your sisters. Or if you got brothers, then it'll go to your brothers. And if you got brothers and sisters, siblings, so remember it will go to all of them and the ratio will be 2-to-1. So that is the easy solution for you. But make sure in your will, O Ummi, O mother, you do not deprive your siblings. Then you heard what the consequences are. Surah 4, verse 14. Very, very important for us to remember this, because so many Muslims are making their wills and they just make it, you know, unilaterally and as they will and as they wish. Remember, the consequences are very, very severe. Allah protect us.
Ustaz, can nikah be performed in Muharram?
Remember that if you want to get married during Muharram, you want to get married in Safar, you want to get married now, all permissible. Yes, there are a group of people who swear and curse and revile the companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, they curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa. And majority of the beloved students, companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah forbid. Remember, they are not even Muslim. So they say you can't get married in Muharram, and especially the first 10 days and so forth and so on. We reject that totally. So you have walima, you have nikah, walima, aqiqah, all that is totally permissible. And those of you who have already set the date for your beloved daughter, beloved son's nikah, do not even think and contemplate of postponing it. Remember, you get them married as soon as possible and work out cheap now. You can't invite more than 50 people, so very good. Make shortcut nikah, 30, 40 people, and make quick, alhamdulillah.
Ustad, Nani says, now with the corona, Nana is not doing masjid because he's 80 years old and he's scared corona will catch him. So now him and I make jamaat. He sit on the stool and I sit on the chair. Can we read jamaat like this? Nana say he likes mufti sahab, he's funny and makes his stomach pain laughing. Ustad, Nani.
So Nana and Nani got 1 man, 1 vote. So you must remember that. So in a case like that, Nana is the imam and you are behind him. Normally, according to the Shafis, all of them, if the imam is on a chair and there are musallis, muqtadis behind him, then all that is permissible, even on a chair or whatever. But remember, the Hanafis say that if the imam is on a chair and people behind the imam are reading salat, and you must remember they are making sajda on the ground, on the land, on the sand, on the musalla, then that salat is not valid. But if it's just you, O Nana and Nani, and now you are reading salat by ishara, you're sitting because you're 80, 85 years old, and then Nani is also 75, 80 years old. So now you are behind him, so then that will be permissible. But nobody else who's reading salat, you must remember, who's performing sajda on the ground, because according to Hanafis, that would not be permissible then. So for you, 1 man, 1 vote, Nana. Allah Ta'ala give both of you complete shifa. What you going to read, Nana? Come, we read now. Ya Qawiyu, Ya Qawiyu, Ya Qawi. Ya Allah, give me energy, stamina, Ya Allah. You see people 80, 90 years old. Subhanallah, our Ustad and our Sheikh, I just remembered now that Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni is our Ustad. Sheikh Usman Taha, his full name, Sheikh Usman Imran Hussein Taha Khattatul Quran, 85 years old. Subhanallah, one in Makkah, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, Sheikh Usman Hussein Taha, the calligrapher of the Quran. Both of them are so ill. I just received message today from Medina Munawwara. Make special dua for Ustad Sheikh Usman Hussein Taha. He's in a hospital in clinic. Both hail from Halab, Aleppo in Syria. May Allah Jalla Wala through His benevolence, grace and mercy give our Ustad, both of them, Shifa-e Kamil, and the khidmat they made, subhanallah. Sheikh Sabuni wrote the tafsir of Quran, more than 10 tafasir commentaries he wrote. Our Ustad, Sheikh Usman Hussein Taha, wrote the entire Quran Sharif, wrote with his own Mubarak hand. 7 times he wrote the Quran. Can you imagine that type of service they rendered to Islam? So Nana Nani, our senior citizens, we make special dua for you. And Ya Allah, give them quwwat, taqat, health, siha, afiyah. Ya Allah, give them good health. One man, one vote. Nana Imam and Nani Muqtadi. MashaAllah.
SubhanAllah. Ustaz, why is more preference given to boy children compared to girls in society? Shouldn't both be treated the same, Ustaz?
Yes, you must remember that is what Islam brought about. If you study the verses in the Noble Quran, you will find the pre-Islamic days, Almighty Allah teaches us, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. They used to commit infanticide. When a daughter was born, they would take her out, make her a grave, and open up a big hole and bury her alive. Allah Jalla Wala states, tomorrow on the day of justice, the question will be asked, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. O daughter, that you will, she will be asked, what crime did you commit? That they have killed you and murdered you. So Almighty Allah mentioned this in chapter 81 and verse number 8 and 9. Chapter 81, verses 8 and 9. So Islam came. Now look at the glory, the beauty of Islam. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثَا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. Almighty Allah is going to give you children, O people. Now the child Allah gives, Allah says, chapter 42, verses 48, 49, and 50, and so forth. What Almighty Allah teaches us? Allah Ta'ala teaches us that يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثَا, that He gives daughters. Allah mentioned daughters first. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. And then Allah gives as a gift, you must remember, the sons. So therefore, if your firstborn is a daughter, that is tafa'ul, is a good omen. Allah's special mercy is on you, O husband, wife, O newly wedded, newly made parents. Now you are parents, your firstborn is a daughter. So imagine Islam elevated. Human nature is such, they think that I brought this daughter up, I paid for her 18, 20, 22, 25 years old, and then she's gone. Remember, to the other house, she's married, and so forth, and so on. And the son, you must remember, he stays there, and many times he is now the one who makes millions and billions and so forth. So therefore, human nature is such, but Islam does not allow that. Islam says, Wattaqullah, fear Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, wa'adilu bayna awladikum, exercise justice amongst your children, sons and daughters. Remember, the hadith is authentic in Sahih Muslim. Yes, you have natural love beyond your control, like you have 2, 3, 4 wives, so that is now something beyond your control. But brazenly, openly to favor the son over the daughter, therefore during lifetime when you are distributing your assets, you give equally. The ratio 2 to 1 only becomes effective after death. During lifetime, try and be fair to all your children and to sons and daughters.
29 minutes to 9 o'clock. It's a beautiful Monday night. We go, inshallah, for an ad break. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the Q&A. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
26 minutes to 9. Somebody says from UK, Ustad, the explosion, is it a sign of Qiyamah about Lebanon, Ustad? Is the explosion, Beirut, the signs of Qiyamah, Ustad?
Remember, there are three narratives, if you want to use the word, regarding the explosion there in Beirut. Number one is this. They say there were some arms there and some active, you know, nitrogen or whatever else, and that was there, and that is what exploded and so forth. So that's one narrative. Second one is that if things don't go Hezbollah's way, Hezbollah is the organization there, and they want to be always in control. There is a big sheikh in the Arab world, and is very well known, Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, and he called Hezbollah Hezbollah Shaitan, and we concur and agree with him on that issue. So does Hezbollah Shaitan. They cause a lot of instability, so it could be them. And obviously we can never discount the apartheid regime of Israel. You must remember, they are master tacticians and strategists. If you just look what's happening in the past 2 weeks, that every day almost, or every second day, there are processions, and there are, you know, people coming out in their thousands, and they're going around the house of Netanyahu, Bibi, Benjamin Netanyahu, and demanding for him to resign. And the way it looks like, you just have to read today's Haaretz and you will come to know, is Israel heading for its fourth election or third election or fourth election, the fourth election in the next, in this, within the 18 months. So can you imagine? And when I read Quran and you read Quran, we say Swadaqallahu al-Azim. Whatever Allah spoke is always the truth. People say the Jews are very, very united. We say no, Quran says something else. Tahsabuhum jami'a. You think they're united, wa qulubuhum shatta, but their hearts are fragmented and so forth. So you must remember that sometimes they carry out these type of things as a diversion and distraction. So people must not worry what is happening. So ghar ko aag lag gayi ghar ki chiraag se. They always oppressing, suppressing the Palestinians and so forth, treating them as second class, third class, fourth class citizens. But now their own people are rebelling against their government. So who did what? That Almighty Allah knows, but we don't know. I've been to Lebanon, but I'll tell you this much, that you must remember, it could be Western forces also involved there. So you must remember that the aim is to destabilize every Arab country. Waylul lil Arab. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, authentic hadith, woe and destruction to the Arabs. Min sharri qad iqtarab. Because now the nearer we go to Qiyamah, remember Arab Spring, no, Arab destruction will take place. Sometimes because of their own policies, and sometimes because the enemy's jealousy to steal the resources of the Muslim and Arab countries, whether it be oil or anything else. So may Almighty Allah protect all our Muslim and Arab countries. And remember, this should be a lesson. The day we start placing our trust in the enemy, then the enemy will always come one day and bite you as well. Put your trust, place your trust in Almighty Allah, in Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in Deenul Islam. Today, Islam has become a part-time thing, not full-time. So people eat day, Jumu'ah, Ramadan, Muslim. But now, other times, remember, they want to be free. So that is the price we have to pay. Allah have mercy on the Muslims, those who passed away, the Ahlul Sunnah. We make dua, Allah grant them shahadat and raise them with the martyrs through the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah.
Ustad, is it permissible to use the Quran to tell the future? This is from Marian Hill. Ustad.
Not permissible. You call that nekfali lena Quran Kareem se. So you must remember, I read about this many times, that people say you must read Surah Fatiha. Now this person here, let's just say ABC person, he tells me, who must I get married to? Must I get married to Jamila, or must I get married to Zainab, for example? So what people do, they read Surah Fatiha, and then they open the Quran Sharif, and then they turn 7 pages, and then on the 7th line, they will say that this is the answer. Why must we do all this when we got what is authentic? Istikhara is mentioned in every hadith kitab almost. You open Bukhari, you open Muslim, you open Tirmidhi, something and something about Lord, istikhara is mentioned. So why should we go and choose these type of things which are questionable and unacceptable according to many, many ulama? Second one, you want the quick istikhara. Person phone you, I got a parcel. I need 1 million rand. You can buy 2-3 cars, or you can buy material, fabric, whatever. I want the answer now. Read same time, read with me. Allahumma khir li khara khire. Allahumma khir li wakhtar li. Oh Allah, Jalla wa Ala, you select the best for me and choose for me. Same time what comes in your heart, that you answer. You don't have to sleep, you don't have to dream, you don't have to read 2 rakat salat. It's good if you got time to read. But now immediately the person wants the answer. So we rule that that is not permissible, to take nekfar from the Quran Sharif, the good omens and so forth. Use the proper way. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. In the example of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have the best role model. Use that. فَاتَّبِعُونِي, chapter 3 verse 31. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. We are human beings, we have shortcomings, weaknesses, we commit sin, we are prone to error. Allah Jalla wa Ala will forgive your sins when we imitate, emulate Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Somebody says here, dear beloved Mufti Saab in Radio Al Ansar studio, anonymous here. Mufti Saab, I read somewhere that gays are to be thrown off the highest buildings, and if they survive, they should be stoned to death. Can you confirm this is true, Mufti Saab? I feel as I've been cursed with gayness. Ustad, anonymous.
Here there are three issues. You must remember, in Islam, this is not considered as a minor crime, not a major crime, but Akbarul Kabair, the worst of crimes, is unnatural. You must remember that Adam and Eve, that is Islam, male and female, you get married, lead a pure, chaste life. But today's world have made it such, Adam and Steve, Madam and Eve, and all these things here. So totally haram as far as Islam, and even any religion, if you study, it will be considered totally unacceptable. And speaking of people who follow scriptures and so forth. So that is one issue. Second issue regarding the punishment, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of two consenting adults, uqtulul fa'il wal maf'ul. So you kill the person who's doing it and the person on whom it's done, because both of them are guilty and one is accomplice for the other. So wala ta'awanu alal ithmi wal udwan, do not cooperate in sin and transgression. And your hadith uqtulul fa'il wal maf'ul is mentioned in Mishkat, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. Third one, among the jurists, you must remember there is difference of opinion in the manner, method of how you should eliminate them, liquidate them. So some say take them to a high building or mountain and throw them down. Some say you just kill them with a sword. Some say other methods. So the methodology of liquidating them, eliminating them, in that there's difference. But remember that in destroying them, killing them, in that there's no difference as far as Islam goes. Because remember, Islam says for adultery also, there's ijma and consensus regarding adultery that there is the death penalty. So here also there will be a death penalty. Remember, it's an unnatural crime. Now look at, I just told you just now, how you must remember Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, every ayat, every line, every verse is 100% the truth. And if you want, open the beginning of the 27th Juz, 27th Subara, Musawwamatan, and you will find the stones that came to punish them, the names of the perpetrators were mentioned. Second one, look at the signs of noble Quran. You will find, I show you 1-2 verses now. And remember that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, you must remember, mentioned there in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum, what I fear the most upon you, my ummah, amila amala qawmi lut, this ummah will get involved in sodomy. Sodomy, male to male, female to female, and you know, male with his wife, and all haram in all forms and shapes. You must remember, remember, Islam will never ever allow that. So we must know that this is totally hated, detested. If you want, I give you some details. Chapter 15, Surah Hijr, and read about Lut alayhi salatu salam. And remember, the story starts with Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Chapter 15, and from verse 51 you read, and see how Almighty Allah speaks about it. I just read for you one. And فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. And Almighty Allah states in chapter 15, 1-5, verse 74, 75, and all that. So 76 also. So there are signs. So Allah Ta'ala commanded Jibreel, the archangel Gabriel, go there, alayhi salatu wasalam, to that land of Sodom and Gomorrah, pick up that land and smash it to the ground. SubhanAllah, I've been there several times. When you go there, you get the eerie feeling. And what happens? Look at the land and the sand. It is the lowest portion on earth as far as altitude goes. What lesson is it teaching us? A nation that committed this crime, Allah Jalla Wala punished them in such a manner that it is a sign for humanity and posterity. The Bahrul Mayyit, the Dead Sea, is right there and telling you that nothing will survive here. The salt content is so much and so forth. So all these are signs, but people today say, no, we want the free life, we want freedom. So anyway, they find parking, they just want to park there. So Allah protect us, oh Muslim, you, my brother, my son, you say gay, and I had debate with them. When they are caught guilty, and they are guilty, then they apportion the blame to Allah. Astaghfirullah, Allah forbid. They say, Allah created me like this. It's like a person goes and robs the bank, he say, Allah made me a crook, you know, and this type of thing, Allah forbid. So my brother, you must cut off ties with that whole group of your friends and cry to Allah, Ya Allah, let me lead a straight, pure, chaste life. Allahumma hassin farji, oh Allah, protect my private part. That is what Islam is teaching us.
Subhanallah. Ustad Haji Ismail Mayed from Marlborough says that, Mufti Sahab, let me know if it is permissible to read Yasin Sharif this way. I read every morning and every night one Yasin Sharif. I am reading one more Yasin Sharif every day with the intention for all marhums who passed away that day. Oh, I have to read one separately, Ustad.
MashaAllah, Haji Ismail. Ismail was my father's name, Imam Bukhari's father's name as well, Muhammad bin Ismail. So Allah Jalla Wala grant all our marhumin Jannatul Firdaus. Let me give you some great tidings, my brother Haji Ismail. You reading Surah Yasin in the morning, before Fajr, after Fajr. The hadith in Sunan Darimi, Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, من قرأ ياسين في صدر النهار قضيت حوائجه. Whosoever reads Surah Yasin in the morning, before Fajr, after Fajr, Allah Jalla Wala will fulfill the needs of that person. Then you reading it at night, Haji Ismail, after Maghrib, after Isha. Hadith in Muwatta Imam Malik by Imam Malik rahimahullah, من قرأ ياسين في ليلة ابتغاء وجه الله غفر له. Whosoever reads Surah Yasin during the night, solely, only for the love and pleasure of Allah, he is forgiven. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Iqra Yasin ala mautakum. One point you must change, Haji Ismail, that anytime you read Surah Yasin, don't say that, Ya Allah, I am reading the Yasin for those people who passed away today. Say, no, I'm reading for all the Muslims who passed away from time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam and the Ummah, from time of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi sallam until the day of Qiyamah. So you can read it one time, you read two time, you read three time, excellent. Just make intention bigger, greater and wider. So that will be excellent. And you know the reward you are getting, Haji Ismail, hadith in Tirmidhi. You read Surah Yasin, inna li kulli shay'in qalba. Everything has a heart, wa qalbul Qur'an, Surah Yasin. And the nucleus and the heart of the noble Quran is Surah Yasin, hadith hadith in Tirmidhi. You read Surah Yasin once, daytime, nighttime, anytime. It is like you read the entire Quran Sharif 10 times, Haji Ismail. So continue with your good work and make dua for us as well, and make dua for all the marhumin and deceased.
Rashid bin Saeed, Ustad, as I was telling you, from Abu Dhabi, they will be coming to South Africa after the lockdown, and they want to come and see Mufti Saab and the team. How do your people do your programs on radio, Mufti Saab, Rashid bin Saeed? And he says, is it permissible to use herbal miswak, toothpaste, whilst in the state of ihram? Rashid bin Saeed, Ustad.
MashaAllah, Brother Rashid. Rashid means to be intelligent, and Saeed means fortunate. Antum minas su'ada, ya Sheikh. Ahlan wa sahlan bikum fi junubi Afrika. You're welcome anytime. If you're going to see our studio, humble studio, you're going to compare what you got it in Dubai and in Abu Dhabi, then you will go out crying from here. But anyway, it's humble, humble beginnings. Ameen. But we thank our capital group.
Ameen.
Allah Jalla wa Ala reward all of them. Haji Muhammad Ikhlas and his entire family. Ameen. And team there as well. And remember, anytime you welcome, my brother. And inshallah, our aim is not the outside beauty. Our aim is, remember that the first wahi, Surah Alaq, first five verses came to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam Mubarak heart in the dusty cave of Hira, and it transformed the whole world. So alhamdulillah, humble beginnings. Allah Jalla wala accept it. But our voice is reaching Australia, New Zealand, America, Dubai, and where else, Allah alone knows. So yes, you welcome anytime, my brother. And inshallah, you go to our website. Go to my website, Mufti A.K. Hussain, HOSEN.net, and you will see all the things that we are doing. All hadha min fadli rabbi, solely only the grace and the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wala. Barakallahu fikum.
Ustad, the toothpaste was asking while in the state of Bihar.
Regarding that toothpaste, the herbal one, so if it does not have any thieb, any fragrance and so forth, so then it's permissible. So how you use a miswak during the state of ihram and so forth, how when you are fasting, you must remember you use miswak. But once it has some thieb and it has some fragrance and all that, then you must remember, you must abstain from it, because whilst you are fasting, then you can't be using flavored miswak. In ihram, you can't be using thieb and so forth with fragrance. So you must see now whatever you are using, and if you got doubt, then abstain from it. Da'ama yuribuka ila mala yuribuk, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his beloved grandson Sibtu Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam his nawasa, and that is Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu warda. Leave that which puts you into doubt and opt for that in which there is no doubt.
Ustaz, what must I do with lose tasbih beads and broken 99 names of Allah's frame, Ustaz?
MashaAllah, give your wife or you yourself. You know, people who go fishing, they go there and they get that fish, gut, what they call it, that Molana, you know, that what they call gut or net.
Yeah,
or
yes, cut wire, something,
something like that. So you just take that, my brother, and put all the tasbih beads back inside, or in a string, thin string you use, or whatever. And in that way there, then you make SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So don't just throw it away and so forth. You can still use it, Alhamdulillah. And in that way, Junaid Baghdadi, Rahimahullah's story comes to mind. Somebody asked Junaid, he was the sage of the age. I went to Iraq 2000, to Hazrat Pirani Pir, Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahimahullah's Mazar Mubarak, Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah, Imam Abu Yusuf, Rahimahullah. When I went to the Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi, I looked at the board, it's written there, Sayyidu Ta'ifa, the leader of the group of Sufis of his time, you know, in his time. So Junaid Rahimahullah, if you study his profile, so he used to still walk around with the tasbih. Somebody asked him, oh Junaid, after itne balan martaba pahunch chuke, you are such a big buzruk now, for what you need this tasbih? He said, I can't forget my humble beginnings. The tasbih made me remember Allah more and more, more and more. So now now, even if Allah, Allah is in my heart, dhikr qalbi, my heart is making Allah, Allah, I still go back to my beginning and there's the tasbih. So see, everything, they will teach us big, big lessons in life. So Allah ku yaad karna, kana yadhkuru, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhkurullah ala kulli ahyanihi. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to remember Allah jalla wala all the time means that we don't forget Allah and we remember, we are conscious of Allah fil khalwa and jalwa in private and in public.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, if a person stipulates in a will, Ustad, I have two children. If they precede me in passing away, their share of inheritance will be as per stirps, meaning the children will get their supposed share. Is this fine? Would it be correct, Ustad?
No, it's not correct. You must remember you have one son, one daughter. And then you say that, Dad, what will happen if they predecease you? So your daughter passed away. So now what will happen is that when you passed away, so now your daughter passed away. And 1 year, 2 years after that, you passed away. So your share will go to your son. And now what you want to do, you say no, that the share that's supposed to go to the daughter must go to the daughter's children. You can't do that. So what you need to do, oh opa, oh dada, now you are the dada, you worried about your hafid, you worried about your grandchildren and so forth. So all of you who are in this state and situation, so first your burial funeral expenses, second your deaths of the deceased, third wasiyah. So when you have sons, you have daughters, and one son or one daughter of yours passed away before you, there are children involved, so make wasiyah for them. You are the dada, nana, so bequeath for your grandchildren and so forth, and say up to one third must go to them of the estate. So in that way you take care of them. Thus you call al-wasiyah lil-ahfad, that is for the hafid, for the grandchildren, you make wasiyah. They will not be heirs because you got the son there. So you must remember, you can't say they must inherit, but you could bequeath for them up to one third. So that is how Islam made provision for them as well, and then the last step will be the shares of the heirs.
Ustad, my husband doesn't treat his kids the same. He keep telling me everything he keeping for our daughter and nothing for our son. He shouts him and hurts him. Just is hurting me, Mufti Sahab, and he don't understand it's wrong. Please advise. Ustaz.
He understands it's wrong, but maybe the daughter is very sharp and, you know, with a computer and with a marks and distinction, and the son may be lazy or maybe he's not so intelligent, so therefore he just blows his top. Remember, you are doing a great disservice. You are breaking the confidence of your son. You are making him feel that is a liability, and Allah forbid one day you just hear he committed suicide. I know of incidents like that because we did not show them any love. So you, the wife, you must start ta'aleem in your house, take Riyadu Salihin. You must remember the fazail works of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya, Hazrat Sheikh Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, and show your husband what Islam teaches. And your husband is your child. So you are the father. You have to take care of your children with love. You can't be just scolding them, shouting them. Tomorrow they will resent you and hate you, and when he is now 20, 30 and you are 70, 60, he's going to dump you in the old age home. So think what you are doing. So remember that. So I don't know you, I'm just giving you advice, brotherly advice. So kama tadinu tudan, as you treat others, so you'll be treated. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the hadith in Bayhaqi. If he is a weak learner, slow learner and so forth, Allah did not make everybody the same, you know. Everybody can't become half. Everybody can become a doctor. Everybody can become an alim. So whatever he's good in, you give him encouragement and tell him, no problem, my son. I'm going to support you. I'm going to help you. You must motivate him. But what you are doing is you are making him feel more depressed. And that is unacceptable in Islam.
Ustad, Zimbabwe. Let's go to Zimbabwe. Please advise if there is a hadith that says if one reads Subhanallah 100 times in the morning and 100 times in the evening, Maghrib time, one gets the sawab of 100 hajj, Ustad.
Yes, you must remember that the hadith is in Tirmidhi Sharif. So, inshallah, you read that. Then every creation is reading that. Very similar words. Quran Kareem teaches us, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Every creation, the trees and the angels, and remember the marine life and everything, they speak about the glory and they glorify Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. But you, the human beings, you don't understand it. So remember that Almighty Allah has spoken of this in chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, verse 44. So yes, read Subhanallah, 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 bihamdihi. So all that is fine. And you will get thawab of 100 hajj. Yes, it Tirmidhi Sharif has it. And remember that we are now praising Allah. Allah, you are more perfect than the word perfect. You transcend every weakness, every shortcoming. Weakness, shortcoming is in creation, not in Allah. Allah is the Khaliq, is more perfect than the word perfect.
But since everyone says, Ustad, does trials means going closer to God? Do more good deeds so the trails go away or made easier to go through? Which one it is, Mrs. Adrian Ustad?
Mrs. Adrian, a very easy barometer I give you. And I don't know you or your husband or family, so I'm addressing you, but the message is for everybody, right? We must just rewind. A person is going to meet his or her boyfriend, girlfriend, and now they meet up in an accident, so that's a punishment. But they survived. So Almighty Allah is still giving that person out of His grace, mercy, benevolence, a second chance. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that you come nearer and nearer to Allah. You understand and practice on what Islam teaches us, embrace Islam and so forth. So that's a second, third, fourth chance. And that person there is going to the mosque, he's going for prayer, he's going to visit his parents. Allah forbid, he meets up in an accident. So that's a trial and a test. Will you still go to the mosque? So remember, so that will be to elevate his rank and status. That will be to forgive his sins. So that is the barometer you use. You know how to rewind the TV and all that. Now rewind our life a little bit, and the calamity that befalls us, you will find that within our heart, the inner recess of our heart, we will find the answer, whether it was a punishment, chastisement, or whether it was a blessing in disguise so that our sins get forgiven, or whether it is to elevate our rank and status.
Subhanallah. 9 o'clock, spot on this beautiful Monday evening. We're going to go, inshallah, for an ad break. When we come back, my beloved, beautiful listeners, inshallah, we will, inshallah, continue with the Q&A. Don't go away. Stay tuned.